Greetings of Christian love to everyone gathered here this evening. It's a blessing to be here with you this evening. I wanted to especially give a word of thanks to you as a congregation for your prayers while we were in Honduras and tokens of love and appreciation you showed the family while we were away. It's good to be back here with you all again. I did want to just mention a little bit about our trip. We were there mostly with some questions regarding the future of the children's home and how things are going to be there in the years ahead. Sometimes we need to do some analysis of those things and also some things having to do with the business side of the work there. That was part of the reason we were there. Also wanted to mention the seems like God is blessing the work to where they're having some more interest in some new areas. And I guess they commissioned Brother Stephen Ebersole, that'd be Philip's second oldest son, to be kind of giving some leadership to congregate a little outreach that they're starting. And so that's where I was on Sunday morning, helping with the preaching there. And was really blessed by the service. So an old couple that's been there for years and been faithful for numbers of years, and actually they're members of the Demacoliso Church, but they wanted to have a church in their own community. And two of their children, older children, accepted Christ last week. So after years of faithfulness, it was quite an inspiring time because both of those new believers gave testimony Sunday morning to their new faith in Christ. So we rejoice with them. If any of you had any questions about specifics on what I just shared, you may ask after the service or some other time. We greet you in Jesus' name this evening and just want to continue a bit with the thought that Brother Luke had for us, and sounds like he and I are thinking a little bit on the same line. I would, as we gather together this evening and plan to take communion Sunday morning, if the Lord tarries, it's always in order to take a look at ourselves to see if we're prepared for the Lord's Supper. In fact, the idea of examining ourselves is actually a Bible command, and just like any other New Testament command that we try to pay attention to, this is just one more of them that we do well to think about. And I think our church standards would even recommend that before communion we spend some time even in fasting for our own self-examination time, maybe some extra time in the Word. These things are recommended for our good. So the title tonight exactly is Examine Yourselves, and I invite your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where we find this verse. The thought of self-examination for the service of communion, for the Lord's Supper, is given in numbers of places throughout the Scripture. And I want to look at just a few of these this evening, but the theme verse tonight is exactly 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. But I want to just read a bit of the context, although I don't have plans to make too many comments about the context. But the Apostle Paul is finishing his letter to the Corinthian church, this second letter, and he's just giving them some last-minute instructions. And I want to read now 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Speaking about Jesus here, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates, but I pray to God that ye should do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. At times it is very good for us to stop for a moment and analyze our lives in light of the Word of God and the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Just allow God to just take the searchlight of His Word and just go into our hearts and see what's there. Brother Luke was already giving us some instruction about that. That was part of what his devotional was about. That we would see what's there. That God would show us things of inconsistency, things of difficulty, shadows that might be there. Those rooms of our lives where no one else has access to. Maybe no one else knows about we ourselves. Maybe we're hiding something from somebody. And we wouldn't want other people to know it. But God tells us tonight through His Word, examine yourselves. Where am I? What is my life like? As God speaks to me. And as some brother or sister might point something out. Maybe one of my parents comes and says, son, daughter, this is something you ought to be thinking about. What is my response to those things? Where am I in my life? How do I stand before an almighty God who is ready at this moment to judge the quick and the dead? How do I stand before a God? Where is God in my life? Is He kind of on the back burner somewhere? I hardly, you know, maybe I thought about Him today, but did I really take time to pray? Did I really take time to read the Word? Where is God in my life? Is He just one more of the many things that I'm doing? God's just a little portion of that pie, or is God the main thing? Is my walk with Him the most important thing? Where is God in relation to you? Where is God and where are you? Where is God and where am I? These questions we really ought to know the answers to tonight. How are my relationships with those around me? The people that I work with day by day, the people that I do business with, the people that I meet at the store, is things above board? Is the relationship what it ought to be? Am I trying to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus? I was blessed going through the line, going through security, and Geneva and I were walking through together, and he wanted to ask a question, and she was standing there, and I was right beside her, and just as I was walking past, he said, I just wonder, why does she have that thing on her head? Why does she do that? And an official person at the security of the Honduras airport, and I just said, the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 11 that a woman should cover her head. And it's part of a godly woman living in modesty and decency. I explained that to him. And as I was writing, he had some, I don't know what kind of paper there, something as an airport official, and just took his pen and quickly jotted down 1 Corinthians 11. That kind of thing just goes to show that in our world, even today, there are people that ask questions. Are we ready to give that answer for the glory of God? Not because of who we are, but who God is. And what His Word is and what it means to us. Just take me out of that illustration. But just remember that there's people that you might meet today or tomorrow who need a testimony. Who need to know what Jesus is doing for your life. So what are our relationships with those around us? And what are our relationships with those who are closest to us? Oh, my dear people, tonight, the stories that could be told, and it just seems like my heart is overwhelmed with things that I've heard in the last week about needs of relationship issues, and from different places and phone calls and things that I've been involved with over the last while. If only we would know that church life and good relationships needs to begin within the four walls of our homes. We just have to remember that. That the words that are spoken from day to day between husbands and wives, the words that are shared, and correction that needs to be given from parents to children sometimes, what kind of effect is that having? What kind of relationships are we building? Or is things on the rocks? Is the word sharp and harsh? How is it really going at home? How is it going at home? These things are very real. Because the repercussions that come from a broken and messed up home, it can be hidden and it can hide under plain clothes for years at a time. And yet down the road, it's all made manifest that mom and dad didn't get along. and children grew up very disturbed. The Bible says here, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. What do I really believe personally? Young man, young lady, mom, dad, older person here seated tonight, what do you really, really, really believe? What is your faith? Do we have a living faith? Do I have a living faith in the Lord Jesus? Is that going to carry me through the tempests of life's journey? Am I there or am I not there? Do I have faith that's real? Do I exercise my tiny bit of faith in a great big God? Where is that faith tonight? How do people know that you have faith? What kind of faith do we have? What are the convictions that will carry me through the times of darkness? In the times of temptation, where is my faith tonight? What do I really believe? When I'm by myself, what exactly is my faith in practice? What are my convictions? Where do I stand? How quickly am I moved away from a biblical principle? How quickly could I be shaken from that? Things that I'm asking myself tonight. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. There's a reason why. Because many, many people that you know used to one day stand in one place, and little by little by little things change and things go downhill. And degeneration and apostasy set in, and that can happen to me just the same as it can to anyone else. But the Bible says again, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. And then it says, prove your own selves. I don't know what you think about that word, prove your own selves, that little phrase, what that means to you, and I don't know what all it means. I tried to study it some. It's in one part of the study that I was doing, it took me over to Matthew chapter 7, where it says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And then it goes to use an illustration. It says, about a man that has a little splinter in his eye and someone else with a piece of firewood, if you please, in his eye, and the one with a piece of firewood hanging in his eye tries to pull a splinter out of somebody else's eye. And when I think about proving myself, it goes right back to the first phrase, examine yourself. See what's happening in my life. What inconsistencies are there? But you know, proving our own selves can be proven if no other way it can be proven, it's proven right how we live, like I've already said, right at home day by day. That's where the most tests of life actually come from, and that's where the most of life is gained or lost, is right within our own home. That's where it's gained or lost, that's where it's made or broken. We have a lot of things in relationships that spread beyond that. But it seems to me we prove ourselves more than anything else in the daily grind of life, in the workplace day by day, in the daily grind of household duties. And I don't like to use that word grind of life. That sounds pretty boring. But after all, who said there's a lot of glamour in washing clothes day after day? And tomorrow you'll do it again, and washing the dishes 3 or 4 times a day. And all of the things that you've done year by year by year, next year you'll do it again, God willing. Sometimes that actually does come rather laborious, but moms do it every day of the week. I was talking to a young lady, and she was saying how humdrum it is to need to clean, and need to clean, and need to just do this simple work. And she said how whatever this kind of thing, she had some kind of a term about how terribly boring this is. I said, I'm going to tell you something. You're about, what's she, 18 or 19 years old. I said, do you know what? I said, if you ever get married, that's what you're going to do day by day by day. That's what life will be. Just exactly what you're doing now. And then you might not even get paid for it like you do now, I told her. That was an interesting conversation because it helped her very much realize that when it's all said and done, it's like Brother Steve's book about courtship and marriage. When it's all said and done, a lot of life is W-O-R-K, a lot of work. Incidentally, it is. That's just what it is. It's on this side of the house and it's on this side of the house. We have specific responsibilities. And sometimes this side of the house can help this side of the house and a lot of vice versa. But nevertheless, in the daily grind of life, in the daily relationships with people, it is proven. We prove ourselves. Now, this is an interesting thought that occurred to me whenever I heard it. And I didn't think of this before, but they say if you go into a new community where no one ever has heard the gospel before, and one person in that community responds to the call of Christ and now lives a different life than they ever lived before, begin to obey the Bible in a way that they should never have lived it before, there's one thing that you should do. You should talk, before you receive them into the fellowship, you should ask at least one other believer that knows them from the time they got converted till the time they're ready to be taken into church fellowship or baptized, you should ask them, how has this person lived? And you should ask one person that doesn't know Jesus what kind of testimony that person has. And that's very interesting because it goes to show that we prove ourselves to the people that know God and we prove ourselves to the people that do not know God. Now I'll give you an illustration that proves what I mean. I knew of a lady who was a church member and she was an old grandma and had a lot of children who did not love Jesus and had a lot of people that thought she was really queer for her stand for Christ. And so they would test her. And in this test, I feel she failed. So they would come around and they wanted to have their parties and they wanted to have cold beers to drink and so they would use her refrigerator to store their beers in and their wines and whatever all else they needed to drink. And eventually, she went right back to the life that she lived because she was not proving herself to be faithful in some of those areas. She was faithful for a number of years. But that kind of thing right there goes to show that we prove ourselves in day-by-day life. We do that. It is not just a happy-go-lucky thing to prove ourselves. It's not just that easy. But we prove one day, 2 days, 1 year, 2 years, 1 decade, 2 decades, what kind of life we actually have or what kind of life we don't have. And our responses to the challenges and the different circumstances that God brings into our lives, some of them are blessings and tremendous joys. Others of them aren't so big a blessing, at least in our opinion. Some of them are rather trying circumstances. Ultimately, the truth is the bottom line. The truth will prove what we are or what we are not. And I like to look over at verse 7 just a little bit. And I pray to God that you do no evil. And that would be a good thing to think about. Young people, did you ever pray the prayer? Older people, did you ever pray the prayer, lead us not into temptation? I'll just give us a little testimony. You can take me out of this again. It's just a little testimony. Going flying to Honduras, there was between Baltimore and Atlanta, there was some kind of a video going. You can kind of follow what it was. It probably wasn't too bad or wasn't good either. But then, flying from Atlanta to San Pedro Sula, there was a video thing going, and it was all screens all around. You could see basically what was going on if you wanted to, and then you try to do some reading in between. And I heard from a family member one time that, you know what, you can actually pray to God about those things if it bothers you. And Tuesday morning before we flew home, I told the Lord, I said, if there's anything like just watch his videos today for us, I just prefer not needing to be exposed to that stuff. And so I got on the first plane and I saw first of all that there was no screens in the back on the seat in front of me. And there was no screens coming down from the ceiling. That's interesting. Just praise the Lord for that. The stewardess got up and Dayton and the flight attendants, and they gave through the manual demonstration of how to use the equipment and the seat belts and whatever have you. We got on the flight from Atlanta to come to Baltimore. stewardess or flight attendant came on and she said, just want to let you know, in case you were planning to watch any movies tonight in this flight, she said, our movies right now, our stuff is in up. Because you all know what that means. She said, you can watch and there's Wi-Fi here on the plane, you can do what you want to do, but our equipment that's made for that is in up. Just want to make that clear. I praise God. Don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And I had some good time to read and good time to meditate coming home. God is good. I'm not going to say that's going to be the way it is every time, but it was a concern of mine. Because when a person thinks about examining themselves, and as I think about temptations that I faced in that type of situations, God is good. And please, when we feel tempted, when we know that there's an area of temptation here or there, with whatever that is, whatever our weaknesses we feel they are, we can just simply pray in an honest and sincere way, Lord, lead us not into temptation. I pray to God that you do no evil, that we should not that we should be approved, appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest. You know, that's God's will. Not so that your preachers can think that, yeah, we got some good members. No. But you're living before the eyes of an almighty God 24/7. Want to or not, he knows. A book of remembrance is written. God knows. Not that we should appear approved, but ye should do that which is honest. That this man would do that which is honest. That us as a ministry would do that which is honest. But God is faithful. Praise his holy name. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. The truth will one day be made manifest to all. What our home life is like, what it's not like, what our personal relationships are like or what they're not like, it'll one day all come out. One day the truth will be known. One day it will be, as Brother Luke said, the screen on the wall. Because all things, even every day, are all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And the books are being written about our words and our actions from day to day. These things are challenging thoughts and things that grip my heart as I think of them. I just wanted to quickly go over yet to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, a few verses very similar to what we've already looked at. I just want to remind us tonight that the devil is very, very active. The devil does about anything to destroy anybody. He cares not who you are, what your name is, where, what your history is. The devil is very, very active. And he will do about anything to make somebody stumble and fall. And let's just remember that. And sometimes the more a person is involved in preaching and more involved in teaching and more involved in the kingdom work, and when things are going well, the devil works on them. And whenever a person has maybe messed up in some area, the devil works on them just as harder. The devil doesn't care who he gets or how he gets them. But let's just remember these verses, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, where it teaches us, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Don't ever be... one brother said it this way, none of us is more than one step from doing something wrong. And we should never be proud of where we stand spiritually, because where we are today, if we're living in victory, we're there by the grace of God and nothing else. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. It says here, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let's take those promises tonight. Let's remember that God is faithful to you and I. If you'd like us to think of thinking about an awareness of how we stand with the Lord in our personal walk with God, let us think about that this evening. God knows us best, And really it is best if we allow him to examine us and show us what he finds. God knows us the best. And we've already sang the song tonight, and I decided I would close with some very familiar verses. And I apologize if I've used these at the close of any other council service, but these verses again and again come back to my mind when I think of a sermon like this. And I think they've deserved to be read again and again. We already sang the song based on these verses out of Psalm 139. And I just wish that each one of us tonight could pray this prayer from the bottom of our hearts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If we are truly sincere, we will change whatever God wants us to. To change us to become more like Christ and more conformed to his image, so we can live more dependent upon his grace from day to day. And remember that God is faithful. He is so good. He is so wonderful to those who believe in him. I trust that that's our prayer. That's all I had for this evening. May God bless each one.